What's up, everybody? Are you tuning in to the Challenge USA on CBS? Well, tune in to me, Tyson Apostle, as I break down each and every episode with my co-host, Amelia Wedemeyer. I'm also a contestant on the show, which gives you all the insider scoop. Amelia, how stoked are you to do this?
Tyson, I'm freaking excited. I cannot wait to sit my butt down every single week to watch the show, then come here and recap it with you on the Ringer Reality TV podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God, the world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
Welcome to Food News. I'm Juliette Littman.
And I'm David Jacoby.
Let's put 30 minutes on the analog clock by Google. Not sponsored, just happens to be true. Jacoby.
30 minutes.
We got a big day. We got inflation news, a lot of booze news,
and
then
some
other, then a few other stories. But it's just, you know, just very current, very topical. And with that, we're going to start some inflation news. Listen, people, it's not just here in America. It's also happening in Japan and basically every country around the world. And in Japan, it's manifesting itself in that this aquarium called, I think I'm saying this correctly, the Hakone Aquarium. Yeah, I am.
Okay, good job.
They used to serve their penguins mackerel, but in a move to save money, they've gotten a cheaper fish, which is called saba, and the penguins refuse to eat it. It's like a kid who you're trying to like put food into their mouth via spoon. They're just like, no, they keep like pushing it away. That's what the penguins are doing. It's so funny.
It's not just the penguins. We just have video of the penguins. It's also the otters.
Yes.
Now, if you went to an aquarium, you're like, what are the two most likable, cutest, like highest Q score animals in this whole entire building? I'm going otters one, penguins two.
Yeah. I also like the otters. I'm just like, penguins, I kind of understand. I feel like because penguins walk and like you see them, you know, waddling around, I can like anthropomorphize them. And I'm like, okay, like, yeah, they're sentient beings. They don't want this shitty fish. I feel like otters. I'm like, how do otters know that they don't want this fish? Like, what are their other options?
Oh, what are you talking? I'm going the opposite. I'm going the complete opposite. Penguins are like a bird that just waddles around. It doesn't even have hands. Have you seen an otter eat anything?
Yes,
it's
I have.
Cutest thing in the world. They fold their backs. They use their little hands. They use their little belly as a table. I'm saying otters are probably closer to us genetically than like chimpanzees. If we really get into it,
that's definitely
you,
incorrect.
Otters, this is a bad take for you to start with. That penguins are more sort of like human-like than otters. Otters, I think there's like an otter in my family.
Okay, I just want to say that we are significantly closer to chimpanzees than otters, but that's fine. Otters, I have seen at the Monterey Bay Aquarium during their feeding time. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're cute. I don't know. I'm not really into like the otter, seal, sea lion family. It's not for me.
First of all, don't disrespect otters by grouping them in with those like little fat things that just lay on rocks. Otters are, they swim around awesome. Have you seen that same aquarium? You can watch them swim around underwater and on top of the water.
Yeah, I've done it, man.
Yeah, they're awesome. They spin around, they do flips, they play. Otters are awesome. And they need, those otters deserve some better fish.
They deserve mackerel. They want mackerel.
Give them the mackerel. You got to cut costs other ways.
The videos are really funny. Seek these out on Twitter. I really enjoy them. They're hilarious. All right, moving on.
This is all I want to talk about.
Back to America. This is a local story for Jacoby and I with national and really human ramifications. There is a fry place here in New York City.
Lower East Side.
On the Lower East Side. It's called Bell Fries. And they recently raised the price of their dipping sauce for, oh, they added a price. It used to be free.
Extra sauce.
Extra sauce.
Extra sauce.
To get extra sauce, it now costs $1.25. Previously, you just have all the sauce you want for the same, exactly. no extra charge.
So now you've got given the information that's in the headline, right? Mm-hmm. So when I saw the information in the headline, I was like, oh, this is crazy. There was an argument over this $1.25 inflation price. And this is the story. The story is the inflation. The story is the $1.25. But then I saw the video.
The video is wild. It is much more action than we were expecting. There's three women and they are throwing things. They're throwing ketchup. They're jumping over the counter. It's all on like a cell phone video, apparently. And then later on, we also see the staff of the restaurant like hiding in the back so they don't get hit by anything.
There's a crowd outside.
It's pretty 4 in the intense. Morning.
Like, I thought it was going to be a little argument. We've all seen that. They're ripping the like pandemic plastic out of the wall and weaponizing it. And they're throwing it. At one point, one of them gets up on top of a table and starts twerking. It's wild. I was like, what I saw on my phone was nothing like what I expected when I clicked play, that little arrow. It was like what I expected.
Me neither. And we first watched this story via the NBC New York website. And the man who was investigating it also had like this very, very serious tone as he as he went through what happened and tried to talk to the owner of the store. And there's a real dissonance with the headline. We are expecting like a ha-ha, oh my God, extra money for fries. It's a lot more serious. In fact, the women have already had a court date and have been, they were arrested and then they were charged with assault. It's like a very serious
situation.
People
went to the hospital. And the guy, and at the end of the article, the owner's just like, I don't know if it's even worth it anymore to do business in New York City. Not just like, hey, I don't know if it's worth it to reopen Bell Fries, which still hasn't reopened. Like, here we are, like, 6 days later. He's like, I don't know if it's worth it to do business in this city anymore.
I think that was an overreaction. But I don't know. I'm not the owner of Bell Fries. This did lead me to check out Bell Fries on Yelp. 83 reviews, 4 stars. I'm not compelled to go based on that. With that few number of reviews, I need it to be higher than 4.
Well, and has anyone on Yelp ever given out 2, 3, or 4 stars in the history of the website? Has anyone done that?
Well, someone named Emmy did. On April 2022, she gave 4.
Okay.
So there's at least one person. Shout there are Emmy. A lot of 5s, and then there's like, you know, a 1 here and a 3 there and a 4. 2 from Christine F. I mean, you know, some people have done it. Oh, Jen T, she also gave 4.
Well, one of the things about the video that really surprised me was the sauce was the start of the problem. The sauce was the butterfly wing that started this hurricane of violence. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that the video heavily features was them throwing the sauce around the restaurant. It was just like, well, if the sauce is not readily available to you, why are they even charging for it in the first place? It was insane. It was crazy.
It was shocking. It was just not what we expected. It was a real mismatch of expectations and reality.
Yes. And also 4 in the morning on a Saturday in the Lower East Side.
Well, that was the end of their night. That's the end when bars close, you know? It's on Ludlow Street.
I also feel like Bell Fries like sort of like feeds into this. Bell Fries is like, you come out of the bar, you're hungry, we've got drunk food just waiting for you.
Yeah. And at least two of the women were intoxicated. That's part of the news story. So, you know, we're not excusing it, but I think that there's a way for Bell Fries to carry on.
Are you victim blaming?
No. Oh, I'm
I
not.
Kinda I kind of was.
Okay. I actually feel bad for these women. When I was watching, I was like, this really sucks. I feel bad
for the people that went to the hospital. Like, you don't go to the hospital for no reason.
Yeah, like, I know, because it's fucking expensive if you do. So
yes.
don't do that.
I hope Bell Fries has health insurance for their employees.
Me too. Let's move on. This one hits close to home. When we used to work at Grantland, we got lunch together a lot. And we primarily went to like Corner Bakery Cafe, sometimes the farm, sometimes a pickup from Yard House straight downstairs. But we had a phase. We had a phase where we would walk to Subway. I would go there with Chris Ryan. Sometimes you would come. And
what would
a go-to order is a tuna sandwich. It just seemed like a safer order than turkey or ham or like who knows what. And turns out was not a safer order.
Who knows what is exactly the right way to put it, Juliet. Who knows what sandwich?
Because here is what happened. NBC News reported that a judge in California, after a 2021 suit from a woman who claimed that the restaurant's tuna products were partially or wholly not tuna, said that she was correct. And apparently Subway said that anything that is not tuna and its tuna products are, quote, most likely because of, quote, cross contact from an employee preparing a sandwich.
Okay. Okay.
That doesn't make me feel better.
No, no, no. They didn't like bring the tuna, the quote unquote tuna, to a lab and then have it maybe wholly not be tuna. They're like, oh, he used that same knife to cut a turkey sandwich a second ago. That's why you're getting those results. Don't buy that for a second. That's a very, very flimsy excuse.
Miscellaneous products aside from tuna. That was within the suit that has been ruled to be more or less true. So that's like pretty terrifying. And yes. I will never be going to Subway again.
I definitely will. And I've got a fix for all of this.
Okay.
Feed the tuna to the otters and the penguins. Boom.
Oh my God.
There
that's
you go.
So smart.
You can't sell the tuna to the people anymore. You've got these penguins and otters that don't want to eat the fish. You've got a mysterious fish. You don't know what the source is. There you go.
It's very upsetting. I just want to say, Subway contends that it uses wild-caught skipjack tuna regulated by the FDA, a favorite among sub lovers. Our tuna is and has always been high-quality premium and 100% real. So they, I assume, will be appealing this, but I am very disturbed, and I will not be having a Subway tuna sandwich ever.
I'll get a Subway
again.
Tuna sandwich right after the show. Right, this does not deter me whatsoever from eating Subway tuna sandwiches.
If you do whatsoever. That, can you take a picture or a video so we can post it on social media?
I'm not really going to do it. I'm just saying things into microphones.
Okay, so then you're just like Subway. That's what you're saying.
Exactly.
All right, onward. On
20
to
minutes.
Booze news.
Booze
of
news.
Of which we have a lot. So there's a question still in the state of California. Is a beer amusement park being built in Napa County?
No, I can answer that question. Absolutely not. No chance. Read the whole article. In Napa County, what do they have there? Wineries. They applied to put a winery somewhere, and they've been fighting it for 12 years.
Yeah. I also, have you been to Napa and Sonoma?
Yes, ma'am.
Francis Ford Coppola has like a winery there, and it's like pretty big. It basically is an adult amusement park. Like, there's a lot of free wine in the tastings, like a beautiful pool, really beautiful grounds. It's what I, as an adult, would want from an amusement park. And I was once there, and like a local was like, this place is disgusting. It's like the Disney World of wine tasting.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. So, Disney World of Wine, sign me up right
now. I'm like, yeah, it sounds
right
awesome.
Right now. I'll spend a week at the Disney World of Wine.
But anyway,
right now.
People in Napa and Sonoma take the wine scene really seriously. And so basically what happened is New Belgium Beer like did viral marketing saying they were building a amusement park for their beer, Voodoo Beer. And people in Napa started protesting, even
I
though it's
part.
Not actually happening.
I love this part. 12 people had signs. Like, it's like, oh, Gary, what are you doing tomorrow? He's like, oh, I gotta go to the art store in the morning. Gotta get some big pieces of paper, some cardstock. Then I'm going to get some paints and I'm going to create some signs and me and the 11 friends are going to go stand on the corner and we're going to protest in a hypothetical imaginary beer amusement park. Gary, what are you doing? Dude, what are you doing?
Some of the fake rides include the Extreme Brew Flume, the world's first beer powered flume ride. Sounds awesome. And
no, it doesn't.
Number two, Surfs Up, catch a wave on 130,000 gallons of tasty hazy IPA. That's like so disgusting. And the fact that anyone thinks that could be real.
Is that a wave pool?
Alarming. Yeah, like a wave pool.
Oh my God, a beer wave pool?
Yeah.
I can't say I'm not a little intrigued.
Oh my God, that sounds disgusting.
I'm not a little intrigued.
Jacoby.
A little bit.
No, absolutely not. They also, another joke was the tallest roller coaster made from reclaimed beer barrels. That I believe because one of my like biggest, that I would believe, not that I think it's real, but like I could buy into that because I do think that in general, roller coasters are so dangerous because they're not really regulated and someone could just be like, oh, we got like an old timey roller coaster. It's built from the a beer keg, all this reclaimed, recycled wood. Aren't we so great? But obviously it's not happening.
None of this is ever happening.
No.
None of this is a good idea, but it is. I just love the idea that there's a backlash to this, that the Napa community has decided to come together and fight this.
It's like, really funny. It's really funny. It's like, guys, it's not happening. Calm down.
No chance this is happening. None. No, they're not going to have 130 gallons of IPA for you to swim in a wave pool. That doesn't work. Like,
literally,
first of all,
none.
If I went swimming in a beer wave pool, right, what's the first thing I'm going to do?
Drink it?
Yeah. And what's it full of? Chlorine, anti-killing chemicals. People are going to be dead left and right. It's not going to be 130 gallons of beer. It's going to be 130 gallons of beer and like 400 dead bodies, corpses, just bloated floating there in the wave pool, like inflatable tubes.
The thought of being like literally submerged in beer makes me physically uncomfortable. That sounds awful.
That sounds amazing. That part's good. If you just built up a bathtub of beer, that'd be nice.
I'm kind of curious what it's like to be submerged in a carbonated beverage, though. Like, what does it feel like?
Do you know what it reminds me? It reminds me of those fish that, like, eat like, the exfoliate your feet. I think that's what it feel like tingly all over the place. I'm into this.
I love to exfoliate.
Food News field trip. Food News field trip.
To the, food news science. The imaginary music park. Sounds great.
No, we can do this. I'll get some La Croix. We'll fill up a tub. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a good TikTok viral video. Okay. Bathtub of La Croix. La Croix.
Mike, buy $4,000 worth of La Croix, please.
We're on it. Production expense. Next. This is interesting. I didn't know about this rule. I never thought about it, but I want to discuss it. Coors Light is selling flashlights, mini flashlights that are basically like Patrick Mahomes apparel. It's like a Patrick Mahomes keepsake, and the money from it goes to his charity foundation. And the reason they're doing that is because NFL players are not allowed to promote beer or any alcohol. And I never thought about that. I watch a lot of football, like casually. Like, I'm not like locked in, like crushing tape like many of my colleagues, but like every Sunday I watch like a game at least. And I never thought about that amongst all the commercials, of which there are so many.
So many. And then I never thought of this either because I just assumed it. But however, while you're watching this one football game a week, I'll take the under on that, by the way.
I love Sunday Night Football, Jacoby. Come
on. Yes, I know you love Chris and Al. The stadium riddled with beer logos.
Yeah.
The commercial breaks, at least two beer commercials every single commercial break. But no, we can't put the player's face in one of those commercials. That would be crazy. That'd be insane. We don't associate
really
with that alcohol stuff.
Yeah.
Like who draws the line there? This just sounds like they're trying to keep money out of the player's pockets to me.
I just really don't get it. Yeah. Like, this is the one like morality clause you're going to enforce the NFL players. Okay. I mean,
yeah.
Plenty of other stuff we could dissect here.
They could probably have some notes and some of the other clauses that they could put in on NFL player behavior. But there's also this aspect. I always think about the meeting, right? So Coors Light marketing people get together, big conference room catered with Subway sandwiches, tuna sandwiches, and they're brainstorm time, guys. Like, all right, we gotta get around this loophole here. Anybody have an idea of products that we could come out with that we could sort of like, you know, customize with NFL player names? How did flashlights end up as the result of that? Like,
well,
why flashlights of all things?
I think because it's called the Coors Light. And it's L-I-G-H-T instead of L-I-T-E. So it's a light.
Touche. Coors Marketing Conference Room. You guys got me. You got me.
It's
good,
old puns. It's pretty good. I like it.
Good also, old puns.
I was doing some additional research, and I think there's also been like some other endorsements that are confusing. Like, for example, the second after Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl at Denver, he got a Budweiser sponsorship, and that's because he like immediately retired, so he was able to do it.
Oh,
but
nice.
And like there's other retired players have other liquor sponsorships. But it's a weird one, something I just never thought about.
Can I tell a great Peyton Manning story? It's David Chamberlain's, not mine.
Okay.
ESPYs, early aughts. Stars everywhere, fancy hotel, suits, dresses. Peyton Manning walks in the room, goes to my friend Dave. You know where I can get a cold beer? End of story.
So the Budweiser sponsorship was probably something he wanted for a long time.
He likes a cold beer. He's just like, all this fancy stuff is cool. So, you know, save me the signature cocktail. I want a cold beer. Cold beer, please.
Maybe it drove him to retire so he could really get involved with something he cared about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, football is cool too. Next, over to France, where there's just like a lot of food and beverage related
crime. A lot of food crime in France.
What is going on there?
This the details in this one are really good.
Really good. So the French police were investigating basically like a drug cartel. They were looking into drug dealers and like a drug operation. And when they were doing so, they came across printing machinery, which I have to assume is just like a label printer.
A printer. Yeah. You call that a printer, not printing machinery per se, but sure. Printer.
Label printer for French wine to go on bottles, where it actually was much cheaper wine, not even from France. Some was from Spain.
Ooh la la.
Ooh la la. And then they were selling it as if it was like real fancy French wine. And the French were flabbergasted, and there's been a bust. And these people
I think got charged. 20 people, yes. Right? 20 people got charged. I love the idea that they're looking for like a huge Coke ring, and they ended up, and they're like, chief, I got good news and bad news. Bad news, no drugs, no evidence, no charges. Good news, we found a printer. We got him on these wine charges.
I mean, this kind of reminds me of when Al Capone was finally arrested. It was
tax evasion.
Tax evasion, yeah. It's like, well, we couldn't get you on drug trafficking, but we got you on fraudulent wine, people.
Fraudulent wine labels. And then at the bottom of the article, there's like, there's a lot of this going on.
A lot. I wanted to get to that. In 2016, several people were caught doing the same thing. People in Bordeaux were blending poor quality wine with high-end wine and then selling it to major supermarkets under, again, fake labels. And someone was given a prison sentence and a fine of 8 million euros. So
that's a lot. That's what I saw. And another one got a fine of like 10 euros. I was like, wait a second. What's the difference here? What is the fine for this? And I also feel like part of this, there's an undertone in this, which is like, well, we're selling them to international supermarkets.
Right.
So, like, who cares?
You know?
This is a victimless crime.
That's
people
on
in America are drinking shitty wine. Like, it's not us. Guys, we would never leave these in France. We ship them over the seas. Like, this is no big deal.
Yeah, they're sort of like, whatever. We don't care about you. But anyway, this is real. And I just want to say to the French criminals out there, I don't know, like, maybe diversify. I feel like these crimes get caught.
10 minutes.
Because they care a lot, you know?
Well, I guess maybe they are selling drugs and not getting caught doing that.
Great point. So they're like actually very adept to what they're doing.
They didn't leave like a cocaine printer around the office.
Do you think 3D printers could make cocaine?
Possibly.
Just a question. One more piece of booze news. All right. I don't understand this, but a bottle of scotch was sold for 16 million pounds. I don't understand this because I don't ever want to have scotch or whiskey. Do you drink scotch or whiskey?
I do, but rare. Well, you know, I drink whiskey. I'll do like a Jameson shot here and there, but I don't do cocktails. I usually don't picking a cocktail.
You don't like sip it. You don't like at the end of the night sip whiskey.
Yeah, I'm not like one of those scotch. But Aaron Rodgers, huge scotch guy.
Okay. Well, this is an Ardbeg, which was distilled in 1975. And I don't know, there's only 88. There's 88 of these. I just don't understand. This
reminds me of like buying like an NFT.
Yeah.
It's like,
that's a great point.
Are you going to drink it? No. So it's like an art piece? It's like buying a Picasso, I guess? Like, what are you doing with this? Just displaying it? It's basically art.
Personal anecdote. When I was in college, a friend of mine went to Prague. And when I was in college, absinthe like wasn't allowed in the US, or like unrefined absinthe wasn't allowed. And so people used to go to Prague or Europe and they would like smuggle it back in. And I think I was in college for this. Might have been high school, but I think it was college. A friend like brought me some absinthe, and like I just like had it as like an ornament in my bedroom for a long time before I was 21. It was like art. I was like, here's my absinthe. And I just never drank it.
Absinthe. Yeah. And then you drink it, you're like, this is just Sambuca. Like it tastes
bad.
And
I'm like, it was disgusting. It was like really like hard to sip. It was like rough. It was
licorice.
So gross.
It's like bunch of black licorice. It's not cool or good.
No.
And there's also like the 18 minute preparation, melt the ice cube, melt the sugar cube thing. Like, no, thank
no
you.
Thanks.
You're not going to lose.
Just give me some vodka.
Can I just have a cocktail, please? I'll take a vodka soda. That'll be fine.
Tequila soda also will do. That's fine.
We'll be fine. We'll be fine. I'm not spending $16 million is insane.
Insane.
Who's got that money?
I do not know.
I hope they're not married. If I came home, no matter how rich I was, if I came home and I was like, what'd you do today, honey? I bought an $18 million bottle of scotch. That's a divorce.
Absolutely. Right. All right. This is kind of like, maybe we'll start doing this, press release of the week, but I kind of was interested in this, which is that Boston Market is introducing rotisserie chicken nuggets, which is a different, it's a nugget innovation, as they say. And they're fried. They're not fried. They're roasted. And I'm actually kind of interested in trying this. And so I just wanted to mention 100%
on board with this. When I read the article, granted, I was hungry, but I was like, this sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Like, one of the things about chicken nuggets is, you know, they just took like some weird chicken stuff and then just fried it in a deep fryer for 5 minutes. Like, this is good. Well, of course, it's been soaking in fry oil. It's fried. But one thing, couple things. Number one, Boston Market, underrated fast food place.
Agreed.
Really good size.
Really good size. Yeah.
You have a lot of options. You can customize your meal. I like that. The chicken tastes good. The rotisserie tastes good. And then when I saw that they have a spicy option, I'm sold.
This is a field trip I'd like to do. Can we go to Boston Market? I haven't been in a long time.
Let's go to a Boston Market and have some rotisserie nuggets. They're only available, I think, in like 215 stores, so maybe we won't be able to do that. Maybe we just have regular Boston Market, but I'd love to have Boston Market with you sometime. It is an underrated franchise.
There used to be one, when I was growing up, there was one like down the street from us, like for a very short period of time, but I loved that period of time. I just want to say also—
Great period in the Julian era.
They're all white meat and they're made to order and roasted in a rotisserie oven. I mean, that sounds awesome.
You know what
else
they said?
What?
No two are the same shape. I like that.
Me too.
They're subtweeting McDonald's.
Dig. I love
it. Like, they're like, no, we don't just take liquid and like pour it into this little shape where it all looks the same. No. These are unique white meat chicken chunks.
Yeah, I love it. We got to try it.
I'm into this.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
Let's go on to our taste test. Today, we are trying some low-calorie beverages.
We're trying to create the mid-cal market here because we've stumbled on that we disagree and agree on a lot of different things. One of the things we agree on is zero calorie bad, full calorie bad, but there's a sweet spot in the mid-cal market.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, this mid-cal beverage market is going to absolutely take off.
So I agree. I've been hyping my favorite iced teas that are naturally sweetened and, you know, like 50 calories, 70 calories. Today, I have something called Runa, which is a tropical passion fruit, sparkling, brewed, clean energy beverage. So basically, it's sparkling iced tea and it's tropical passion fruit. And it's 30 calories. I've never seen it before. And I'm going to give it a sip right now.
Great. I have G2 Gatorade. Now, a couple things about that. I love Gatorade. However, when I was like 30, I started figuring out that like Gatorade's really bad for you.
Really bad.
I talked to like a doctor. They're like, if you just ran a marathon or played an NFL football game, Gatorade is exactly what you need. However, if you're a regular person, never drink Gatorade.
If you're hungover, just go for the Alka-Seltzer, not for Gatorade.
Of course.
Plop, plop, fizz, fizz.
Oh, what a relief it is. How's your Runa?
It's good, man. I really like it. So here's the thing. I've had some sparkling iced teas. It seems to be a burgeoning part of the market. The other one I had was really bad. It was just like a plain black iced tea. But tropical passion fruit is just a can't lose flavor palette for me, or, you know, flavor profile. And it's really good. And the fact that it has a little caffeine is also quite appealing to me.
You know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to Google what a passion fruit looks like. Because I feel like I eat a lot of passion fruit flavored things, but I've never like seen a passion fruit.
It has like a lot
fruit.
Of seeds in it. It has like kind of like a gelatinous type of seed. It's a little bit like a kiwi. I love a passion fruit. It's just absolutely
passion
delicious.
Passion fruits are beautiful.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Whoa.
What? They're yellow. Whoa. Yeah.
Oh, that's a passion fruit.
Yeah.
Oh, they had these in Mexico.
They're really good, man.
They look like someone barfed inside of a bowl, though. Like, it's so visually unappealing. Now I understand why people don't, like, serve passion fruit.
They do at Soho House. At Dumbo House, when I get, like, the yogurt and granola for breakfast, it comes with passion fruit, and it's really fucking good. Anyway, this is really good, this Runa. I recommend it. 30 calories for 16 ounces and a little bit of caffeine. How's your G2, man?
So the G2, I'm a big Gatorade Zero person because I told that story about how, you know, there's just like a ton of sugar and bad stuff in Gatorade. Mm-hmm. So I go to Gatorade Zero and there's the mid-cal option.
Okay.
Excellent. Easily, it's like 10 times better than Gatorade Zero and only slightly worse than regular Gatorade. This is the sweet spot in the market.
What is the best Gatorade color? Go.
Oh, it depends on my mood. It's kind of hot sauces. Yeah.
No.
Oh, it depends on my mood.
No.
If I had to pick one and only one, it would be the classic yellow.
I go orange. Love orange.
No chance.
Absolutely. Orange is number one for me.
I like artificial grape too. Big grape guy over here.
You do?
Yeah, big grape.
That's shocking. Artificial grape is disgusting. Yeah.
Oh, Welch's soda? You kidding me? I'll dominate a Welch's soda.
I love grapes. I love grape juice. I despise artificial
grape.
Those
are two different things. Actual grapes and artificial grape are two completely different things that shouldn't even share the same word.
Artificial grape and artificial cherry are two of my least favorite things in the entire world.
Oh, wow. Well, it's another bad take from Juliet here in Food News.
Oh, my God. We're going to put a poll up. What is your go-to Gatorade flavor? What's your Gatorade color? We'll discuss it next week. Jacoby, hit us with your personal food news.
Me and my wife have a night after the vacation with no kids, a full day with no kids. I don't even know what to do, right? We work out, and then she wants to go on a long bike ride and eat food. She wants to go to Lucali's.
Okay.
It's very, very, it's the best pizza I've ever had.
It's in Carroll Gardens. It was featured in an episode of Billions. It's very good.
It's amazing. We get there.
Okay.
It opens at 6. We get there at 4:30, because I heard you have to get there to like put your name down. There's a big line. There's people inside eating. There's 3 empty tables outside, empty tables. And then we have to like drop off our bikes. We forgot that it was bring your own booze. So we had to go to the wine store, the liquor store. So we had to do a little like 15, 20 minute mission. We get back. There's literally a red velvet rope at the door. So you can't go inside. And there's a woman with the stand and she's there. And we go up and we're like a table for 2 people. It's now 5.
Okay.
Come back at 10 p.m., she says.
Did she give you a takeout option?
No. They don't do takeout, I don't think.
They did during the pandemic, which is great.
Come back at 10 p.m. 5 hours from when I'm talking to her. And there's 3 empty tables right there.
Did you ask about it?
There's 3 empty tables. No. I'm not going to be like, what about that table? She's going to be like, oh, wait, I forgot that exists. You know what I mean?
I would have asked. I would have been like, well, are those taken? Just to like see what she said.
Just to see what she said.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not that kind of petty.
30 seconds. You know what
I mean? I thought maybe also in the service of food news you would have asked just to have all the info, but that's absurd.
Oh, now I'm a bad podcaster because I didn't start a fight with the lady at Lucali's.
That's not what I said.
That's my personal food news. Lucali's, your pizza is amazing, but guess what? There are plenty of other places to get pizza in New York City. You don't have to wait for 5 hours.
You know, I feel really strongly about bagels. I do not feel strongly about pizza. Like, it's just not a passion of mine. So, like, I agree, but like, I'm like, yeah, that's true.
I'll never say that to a professional pizza cook. Okay.
Sorry.
Don't ever say that.
You
don't go to the butcher and be like, I really hate meat. You know what I mean? Come on.
You're right. My bad. Okay. I feel like my personal food news has turned into question time, but here we go. When you see that there's fruit on sale, buy 2, get 1 free, like blueberries, strawberries, whatever, do you do it? Or do
no
you
chance.
worry? that
no
your
way.
Fruit is going to rot in like 1 hour.
No way. No way do I do that. It's like a dollar slice of pizza. It's like a free taco at a bar. It's just like, no. I want to pay full price for certain things. Like, I don't want half off plastic surgery. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I want full price for certain services and perishable food goods. I do not want like the sale rack.
Well, I can't resist a deal, so I always do it. I literally, I'm like, 2 pints of blueberries. I'm like, cool. And then I feel like I have to eat them really quickly.
What are you doing with all that blueberries?
It's like chugging them, like sitting down and in one sitting having a pint of blueberries.
I'll take a bath
bad.
In beer. I'll submerge myself in beer. You submerge yourself in blueberries. Put that on TikTok.
Well, everybody, thanks for listening. Mostly thanks to Mike Wargon for producing this episode. We'll be back next week.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates. This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.